okay.
Me? I was trying to get a hold of you earlier.
I have not been on the radio the last 2 days. I'm not working this week or next week. So, been trying to do some stuff, and I've kind of been out of the loop for the last couple days.
And I was wondering how come I hadn't heard you today. Yesterday didn't surprise me, but it's playing time off that you want to take.
And hopefully I will get the things done that I'm trying to do or want to get done, but we kind of took it easy the last couple days.
That too. It is the season coming up.
Correct. But anyway, I hope you're doing well. I don't think I'll be available for lunch tomorrow because I won't be out working. So I'll be working, but not anywhere near there.
How dare you?
No.
Not a problem. Trust me, I understand. And like I said, I hope everything goes good for you.
Day.
I am. I'm crossing Tigerville Road on Locust Hill, heading north.
And at least it didn't rain real hard. I mean, I guess it just kind of drizzled around here every once in a while. I don't know what it was like there.
He's just particular who he eats with, Shane, that's all.
And it's been pretty much a drizzle all day today, and wherever I've been, nothing major, just enough to be aggravating with the windshield wipers and the glasses.
Understand. And hello, Tom. He'll meet me once a week, and we eat just ordinary food. But I hear he goes to your place once a week and gets this fine baked items. I've heard rumors about that.
Well, if she's baked that day, he does. This is N0TR. I've just been talking with Patrick Caulfield just a few minutes ago. I had to run down the hall there and get me some floss and that. But it's been an uneventful day, and I think this evening I'm going to mount a scope on my grandson's pellet gun for him. And it's a lot better scoping than that junky thing he brought out here the other day. I'm telling you, it was all over the place. Every time you did adjust it, it went someplace that you didn't want it to go. So that'll give me something to do. It's just been dreary today. And like I told Patrick, I mowed grass yesterday, and that always bangs me around a little, so we've been taking it pretty easy.
Tell them the same thing. I've taken it easy the last couple days, but I got work to do starting tomorrow. Took time off to get some stuff done around here, so we'll see. Go ahead, Patrick.
But I've taken a drink of my Pepsi there. But I'm glad y'all can take the time off. I got to keep moving.
Seemed like when you get my age, every day's a day off, Patrick.
Us both to keep moving so he can keep staying retired.
And I'm sure Miss Bernice would say you're off every day, Tom.
Well, that. Oh, shoot. Well, I got some things to do tonight. I got a new Game and Fish magazine I can read and dream about, but that's a good magazine. It's oriented toward South Carolina. I look at them and then give them to my neighbors who do get out there. Boy, they caught some beautiful fish the other day, Shane.
Tom?
Santee Cooper. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. I certainly wasn't. But it's kind of between Columbia and Charleston. And they connected the two lakes together with some locks. Tim was telling me about it back during World War II, I think. And the locks are, I can't remember rightly, but 7 miles long or something like that. And that's where they caught the most of them. I think the biggest one was around 35 pounds. But on Thursday, it rained all day, and they just slayed them on Thursday. They didn't catch as many on Friday, but they were just beauties. I mean, 15, 18, 20, 25-pound channel cats or blue cats, one of the two.
Nice looking fish. Tom showed me those pictures last week when I stopped by. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Just going to ask if they were catching striper. I used to work with a guy that fished down there a lot a while ago, back before I worked with him, but they used to catch striper down there all the time.
Mentioned they might. They're planning another trip already. He's got a pontoon boat he bought and fixed all up. It's really nice now. When I was over there yesterday, he was looking at rods and reels, and I says, good Lord, Tim, you got about 30 rods and reels down there in the basement. Well, yeah, but those are mostly for stripers, Tom, and bass fishing. And I said, you got some complaints from those catfish, I guess, about catching them on the wrong kind of the rod. Well, I'm buying me a Christmas present, he said. Go ahead, Patrick.
And those were some nice-looking fish because he showed me the pictures last week when I went by. Really nice.
Saturday morning, my oldest son and I went out and fished on the river up here off 11, the South Saluda. And we caught four or five trout each. It was a lot of fun. We only stayed there a couple hours. It was cold. We got there before the sun was up. It was just getting light when we got there. And down on the water, it was really cold, but we had a lot of fun.
William, on Thursday when they got there, he told Mitch, which is his son-in-law, he says, Mitch said, ain't you going to take your rain gear? And Tim said, no, it ain't going to rain. And they got out there and it rained all day. And he didn't have any rain gear, and they did, him and Moody, an old Army buddy of his. Tim wasn't in the Army, but Moody was. And he said, I like froze to death. And he usually, he's like a polar bear. He likes the cold air. But it got to him that day, but he didn't want to go back in and get his rain suit after being out in it.
Time out in the cold and wet, and it don't take long to suck the temperature right out of your body.
It was cold Saturday. It wasn't that cold at the house, but down in the, right on the river, the air was cold. The water was actually felt warm compared to the air, but I was ready to come inside when we were done. I haven't acclimated to the cold weather yet.
It's 62 here, and I went out to the chicken pen and had to take a nitro a while ago. Usually when it gets down cool, I put a mask on, but I can start feeling that pressure build up, and I grabbed for a nitro, and that takes care of it. But I'm sure if I stayed out there too long, it'd probably come back again. But I made quick work of it today. And Tim said, yeah, the next day, he said, I wore my rain gear, and it didn't rain all day. He said, I was too hot. But he really tolerates cold well. He's in his 50s. And about 55, I think. I don't know how he does it at times. You'll see him out there in a short sleeve shirt and that. But I got an idea how he stays warm most of the time, but I won't say it.
And some guys can handle the cold a lot better. I'm okay once I acclimate to it, but it's been really nice. And then to go out and it had to have been close to 30 degrees, 32 degrees right there on the water. Maybe not quite that much, but anyway, we had a good time. It was nice to spend time with my oldest son. He hasn't fished in a long time, and he had been thinking about it and decided he wanted to get back into it. So it was nice that he called me and said, can you meet me up there? Of course, I was happy to do it. 10-4-ZLK.
Patrick might be out switching vehicles. Well, what do you catch them on, salmon eggs or something like that?
Spinner bait called a rooster tail. And been using them for years and years. I've tried other little spinner baits, and they seem to do the best. And I have caught them on salmon eggs in deeper holes when I used to fish up on the Chattooga and stuff like that. Like they would die down on the little spinner rod, I'd throw a little salmon egg on there and fish the deeper holes. But they end up swallowing the bait. It's hard to get a, it's hard to release them. I'll take one or two home every once in a while to eat them, but usually I just put them back. It's a lot easier to release them with just a little single hook on a spinner rod or a little spinner bait.
Heard of guys using barbless hooks. That's what we used up in Kansas for fishing for trout. There was one old strip mine, and they stock it every year, and it had a stream that run into it, but it was an exceptionally deep strip mine. It was 80 feet deep, and Kansas Fish and Game restocks it each year in their rainbows, and boy, those things really fight. My buddy caught one, weighed 4 pounds one time. I told him he ought to have it mounted, because there's no trout in Kansas anywhere, but that is one exception there in southeast Kansas. It's over by Hollowell, Kansas, or in that area by Big Brutus, one of the biggest coal shovels ever produced.
That's KO 4-H Kicks. Trying to get out in traffic, so I was watching what I was doing. But you have to come up to the house sometime. We got some of the best trout waters in the country.
I haven't fished up in North Carolina yet. I've heard a lot about it. I've had a lot of fun down here in this area, and it's nice because it's just 5-10 minutes from my house. I can be fishing for trout. Of course, I can walk down to the pond behind me and fish for bass too. So that's kind of nice.
Make me sick. Jiminy, the good old days. Yeah, I love to fish for bass and even perch. They have the South Carolina record bass, and they have the South Carolina record perch down there at that place they stayed. It's called Black's Resort, and he sent me pictures of it, and I can't remember without looking how big that bass was, Shane, but 16 or 18 pounds, somewhere in that area. Yeah, but the thing that really amazed me is the perch, and it was 5 pounds and 7 ounces. Now, perch, one thing a lot of people don't know is once you hook them, they run sideways to you, so you're pulling against their side. So they feel much bigger than what they are. Can you imagine a 5.5 pound perch?
Right, that's for sure. But guys, I am going to switch vehicles now, so I'll be back in a few minutes if you're still here. If not, y'all have a good evening, and pleasure talking to you. KO4-H Kicks, and I'll be clear for now. 7-3.
I might be here, I'm not sure. But yeah, that would be fun, Tom. I'll let you say goodbye to Patrick there. Go ahead, N4ZLK.
Catch you later, Patrick. I may run downstairs and start putting that scope on. I don't know. I'm just tired from yesterday. We did a lot of work. And then Bernice, she even took the push mower and went out there. It's self-propelled, but and got where I couldn't get. I didn't want her to, but you know how these hard-headed Germans are.
Oh, goodness. That's funny. Now, we caught some good trout, though. There was a couple of, fairly good ones for the creek. Of course, they stock them all. It was probably between 10 and 12 inches, which they can put up a fight at that size. So, and I use little ultralight spinner rods, which makes them feel like they're a lot bigger than they are.
Sure. Bob Meisinger was my good friend, and he always caught a lot of channel catch up at Bone Creek Reservoir, north of where we lived, about 10 miles. And then he had me go over. I was working with him over in the wheel plant. And, I'd been helping him that day work on the robots, and I was working on the helium leak detector. And he says, come on, go fishing with me, Tom. And so we went over to that lake. I said, God, Bob, it's freezing. And it was spitting snow, and I had all my insulated coveralls and everything. But he said, the colder it is, the better they bite. And sure enough, he was right.
That way. I've fished up here in the middle of the summer before, when back when I used to, well, during the summer I would just get in a pair of shorts and sandals and wade in the creeks. Wintertime I had a set of waders, which I wore them out. They started leaking. I used them so much. But they were hard to catch in the summertime, but you could find one here and there. They were a lot slower to bite. When it gets cold, boy, they really seem to hit good.
I wore chest waders over in the Neosho River when we hunted ducks. And we go out to set out those decoys. And I stepped in a hole one day, and it was down around freezing. That'll wake you right up when that water comes over the top of those chest waders.
It does. I've fished before when the end of the rod tip would get wet and it would start building up ice because of how cold it was. But they would still bite. But man, I was very careful not to slip or not to step in too deep. I've been close, and when I get where it's a couple inches away, I'm sliding my feet along to make sure that I'm not going down any deeper.
River, the Neosho River up there in southeast Kansas, was known for potholes. A lot of guys drowned in them, and so it was, and I could swim like a fish, but you're not going to last long when the water's cold. That's the worst combination you can get. But the funniest time I ever had is one Christmas I asked for a rod and reel, and it was my birthday in January, and I just had to go out and try it out, and there was snow on the ground, so I went out to the quail farm, and they had flying pins out there and that, and Kansas Fish and Game, Fish and Game of Plenty, they put out quail all over southeast Kansas every year. Anyways, I was by myself. I was in a 12-foot John boat. I never thought about, it being frozen on the water. Well, when I got there, I was determined I was going fishing. So I slid the boat in on the ice, and I pushed it out with an oar out over till I got to the water about 10 feet. And I was sitting there trying out the new rod and reel, an open-face reel. And I just mainly wanted to see how good it worked. And I didn't really expect to catch anything. They'd be deep and dormant. And the game warden come by. Anyways, so this game warden come back in the quail farm there, and there was numerous strip pits. And they'd run up to about 20, 30 feet deep. And I was out there in my coveralls and that, and he stopped. He come down a hill and where I was parked, and he stopped there. I thought, oh, well, I had a fishing license and everything was up to hoil. And he rolled down the window and he looked out at me and he just stared for a little bit, and he shook his head and rolled the window up and drove off.
Okay, yeah, he wasn't getting out to check your license in that weather. I'm sure he figured if you were out in that weather, you probably weren't out there illegally.
He thought I was nuts, I think, because when I got in that boat, I had to get up in the bow of the boat and jump up and down to break the ice to where I could get out to the water. It wasn't the sanest thing I ever done.
You were piloting a real icebreaker there, were you?
By golly, I wanted to try out that rod and reel. It was a brand new Shimano. I love to fish. I used to go about three times a week. I'd drive up to the farm and drop Bernice and the kids off at her mom's, and they'd visit with Grandma, and she'd take them out, and they would take grain and grind the grain. She had a grinder there and make flour and then make rolls or bread or whatever. And it was a great learning session for the kids. And then Bernice and I cut wood out there because we heated with wood for quite a number of years. And I built the wood stoves, and I built the log splitter with the expert help of my neighbor. And we had a lot of good times out there. But I'd go up to some of the booniest places you could ever imagine and go fishing. And I very seldom see people where I was fishing at, put it that way. Not now. All those places have been bought up and houses built on them.
It's hard to find, even around here, it seems like the land's going quickly. But there's that Nature Land Trust that's buying a lot of this land up here to preserve it for hiking and things like that, which I'm grateful in some ways. I hope it'll be a good thing long term, but it also takes away some of the available land as well. So I don't know. We'll see.
And places that game management areas, and they had a lot of those pits that they bought up, and you could go fishing in there. And you know, if you mind your own business and had a fishing license, nobody'd bother you. But they weren't as good as some of the boony places. And the good thing was back in them days, in the 70s and 80s, Mackie Clemens Coal Company had maybe one mine left, or all of them had went out of business. But any of the strip pits that they left behind were very, very old. And they've been growed up around, and anybody could fish them. It was open. They never did post them or anything like that. So anybody could go anywhere. And it was just a beautiful time to live up there.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. You keep talking about the little snacks you're eating and the things Miss Bernice bakes for you. And hello to Miss Bernice if she's there. And I will talk about when I go fishing. How about that?
I enjoy that, and I'm happy for you guys. I might consider next spring going down there to that Black Resort. It looks like a beautiful place. And Tim said it's only like $400 or something like that. And it's like a motel sort of like setting. You rent a room, and then you can just use their pontoon boats, and they furnish all the rods and reels and everything, and the bait. That's not my kind of fishing, don't get me wrong. I did that once up on Lake Erie when my oldest daughter got married. Her husband chartered a boat, and we went out fishing for walleyes, and that guy kept coming over and taking the fish off of my line and baiting it up, and I finally told him. I said, you take care of the rest of them guys. I'm from Kansas, and I said, that's my rod while I'm here, and my son-in-law paid to rent it. The guy said, no, it's mine. I said, well, you go bait up everybody else's and leave mine alone, because I'm very capable of doing that myself. But I guess that ain't acceptable. That's what you do when you take your wife with you. You bait up the lines, you know, and get them untangled.
Service they provide there, and I'm sure that a lot of people tell them they know what they're doing, but I'm sure that a lot of people have made a mess out of it, too.
But I just wasn't used to being coddled like that. Gosh, we go out at night and walking in the creeks. We call them creeks. And go frog hunting. And we go out and fish half the night long and set limb lines and trot lines. I never did like doing that. My dad did. I'd rather catch them on a rod and reel. And but I'd go, and then I'd go to the river with my friends, and both of them, their folks had cabins on the Neosho River, and they always set out limb lines. And out and seen the bait, and then drive about 30 miles over there to the cabin. And, gosh, it was quite a time, Shane.
As my father-in-law used to talk about Delaware, and setting crab pots out and trot lines and traps for muskrat and things like that when he was a kid. He did all kinds of stuff like that.
A friend made me a knife a few years ago. I'm sure he said Henry was a tool grinder, but he owned a farm over in Missouri, and he owned a shooting range over there. And other than his family, I was the only one who had a key to it. He said everybody else goes in there and leaves their trash and busts up glass and, and I still got a key to that shooting range. And it also had a strip pit, and Bernice and I'd go out there and we'd build us a little bonfire and cook something on it and or catch fish and cook them and fish there. That was a lot of fun.
Well, Tom, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to get some stuff done here and maybe play on the big radio or something, at least listen around. Hope you and Bernice have a good evening. It was really nice to hear you this evening. And I'm sure we'll talk again. N0TR and 4ZLK.
Okay, Shane. Pleasure's all mine. And I'm looking out the front windows here, and I got to tell you, it's getting dark at 5:03. It just really sucks. Oh, well. The chickens, they're getting used to it, so I guess I can, too. And Marie said to tell you hi. She's down on the computer in the other room. Take care, my friend. And Patrick, if you're listening, I'll say 70 trees. I need to clear off of here, too. This is N0TR, clear.
73, Shane. 73. Tom, Miss Bernice, I will talk to you later.
Have a good evening. I'll talk to you later on. And if not tonight, tomorrow sometime. Be careful. At KO4HKX and 4ZLK.
Q4YCI, I believe it was. This is KO4HKX. You're not making a repeater as well as you usually are. You must be in a different area today. Did I lose you, David?
Can you hear me now?
Better now, David.
No, I'm all the way out here at Mesa for that soccer practice. But, yeah, I'm just further away from the repeater, I believe.
Quite a bit of white noise with you, but I can reach you. I can copy you.
Ordered a new radio today for a more permanent base station mobile situation.
What'd you get?
The FT200 that Will Yates is for sale. Pretty good deal. Has the software with it and cable and all that. So looking forward to playing with that thing.
Probably a real good radio for you. I've not used one personally, but Yaesu's radios of that vintage right through there have all been really good.
The ones I was looking at new didn't have the digital, because I figured I didn't really want to pay for the extra digital on a mobile rig, given I was probably going to get a bigger base station at some point anyway, but this one has it, so I'll just play on that too.
The only drawback to that is there's no CF4 or fusion repeaters around here, so you won't get to do much with it there.
I guess I'm glad I didn't pay the extra money for the digital there.
The biggest ones around here is DMR.
Seen some of that, and the DMR, as I understand, is just I don't want to say generic, but it's just a non-brand specific version. Is that correct? It's not the D-Star or the Fusion.
DMR is basically Motorola Turbo moved over to amateur radio.
So if you have a Yaesu or the DICOM, will they work on DMR, or are they only their fusion and...
Digital modes are individual. ICOMs are D-Star, Yaesu is fusion, and then you got DMR, which you can use Motorola or Anytone or Radiology. There's several different radios out there for it since it's been brought over.
That makes sense. So basically the proprietary ones are fusion with Yaesu and then ICOM. Got that deep.
But Kenwood will do ICOM also, or D-Star also, on
mile,
some of their radios.
Well, I guess I'll just wait to play with it, but that wasn't really what I wanted it with radio for. Anyway, I need a little bit more power, better setup. So I'm still on his HT right now.
You're on HT, but like I said, you're plenty readable, so... Nothing to complain about there.
I think it was either you or Shane talking earlier about a lot of people getting pulled over today. My wife drove out the other direction towards Townsville today, said she saw a bunch of them out.
Eric and Leon earlier today, or Ken, could have been any one of those. I talked to them, those three, this afternoon. And out on 85, they're traveling... Eric's going north on 85, and Ken is going south on 85. And they said there was a lot of people getting pulled over out there.
Slow some people down. I know it gets crazy around here on 85. 80 miles an hour, you'll get past going like you're going backwards.
That's how come I'm glad my tour route doesn't take me anywhere near 85.
NASCAR race, you know, people riding your tail doing that fast.
Had enough out here on Whitehorse Road and 276 going into Greenville and out of Greenville.
I've seen some craziness on Whitehorse Road too with people swerving in and out of lanes.
One earlier today that he got upset that there was a truck broke down in front of me, and there was a red light there, so I merged over, and he got upset by it, and he come flying around me and done the brake check and cut me off and told me I was number one, and I'm like, dude, we were sitting at a red light and moved over. I mean, wasn't like I was even close to him, but I'm driving a 35-foot long Peterbilt, so I guess he got kind of upset by it.
Probably driving too fast and had to slam on his brakes and everything else, but people just get in too big of a hurry to race to the next red light, in my opinion.
Sitting still when I merged over. Yeah, he wasn't moving.
Gave you the number one.
I was just excited somebody else thought I was number one.
I like it.
I didn't appreciate the brake check in front of me, but whatever. That's kind of stupid. Cost yourself your life being ignorant like that. And I got it all on camera.
I have to say, the only thing dumber than doing a brake check in front of a 35-foot truck is doing one in front of a 53-footer.
It is amazing what's out there with license nowadays, or at least behind the steering wheel. I don't think most of them have their license anymore.
Surprising me either. I think a lot of the driver's education is different than what it used to be, too. I know when I went through it, I had to go through a whole semester of nothing but driver's ed in high school.
Here, it wasn't like it is now where it's teach to a test, and as long as you can pass the test, you're good. You actually had to know something.
Oh, this is shocking, and if anybody else, but, you know, you actually had to drive a car a few times before you got a license back then.
Had to know, do a walk around on it to do a safety inspection. The horror.
It's funny, man. It's just different. I mean, you see people, these traffic circles, they're going to be the death of everybody, I think, if they don't learn how to use them.
Even get on the traffic circles. I don't know if you know, but I don't live down in Greenville. I live up in Brevard, North Carolina. And they're putting a traffic circle on every intersection up there, it seems like. There's one in a five-mile stretch of road. They're going to have like 10 of them. Now, you'd be busy by the time you get through there.
Fun to drive a truck around.
That's for sure. And the very first one they put in, they didn't make big enough, so you can't get trucks through it. It's a four-lane road they're doing it on, and they made it two lanes all the way around the circle. And you can't get in there with a truck or you get run over.
Q4YDI. There's a bunch of them over there near where I live, and they're not too bad, but you always have to watch because there's people that don't know how to get in and out of them, and they're switching lanes, and it gets kind of hairy. You got to have your head on a swivel.
Roger that. Well, David, I'm going to have to bail on you here because I got to figure out what I'm doing. They got the road closed here, and I'm trying to get somewhere, so I'm going to have to make a phone call to find out what I need to do. So I'm going to jump out of here. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear for now. 7-3.
KX. KQ4YDI, good talking to you. 7-3, be safe.